Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4, packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hey, it's Mark Schler with the Stinkin' Truth Podcast. The NFL season is in full swing, and I'll be here to break down all the action like no one else can. Follow and listen to the Stinkin' Truth Podcast on your free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Rangers with possession off the draw, and it's an empty net goal from the far corner. That's the thing about having over 2 minutes left in the game. I mean, the goalie will probably come out again. But 2:02 left in the clock, and now you're down two goals again.
An empty netter ends up being your game winner. Adam Fox with 2:02 left, as Dan Dunleavy correctly said. The goal of the game from Fox is brought to you by Roswell Park Comprehensive Cancer Center. Early detection of cancer is our goal. Get in the game at roswellpark.org/WGR. We welcome you back here to KeyBank Center Wednesday night, and the Rangers get a 3-2 victory, sending Buffalo to their eighth straight defeat. Brian Colzio with you here, Pat Mellicaro as well. Paul Hamilton's down outside the Sabres dressing room. We'll get some player reaction coming up here in just one moment. I thought the Sabres were very good in the third period, Pat, but they outshot the Rangers 16-5. The possession was much better. The pressure was much better. It just seemed like they couldn't buy a goal. They finally got one, and then the Rangers, moments later, got a lucky bounce, which happens when you're in a losing skid. Sometimes just things don't go your way. And then the Sabres ended up finally do getting a second goal, but they already had pulled their goalie and given up the third one into the empty net. So just here you are when you've lost seven in a row and now it's eight.
16 shots in the third period, but 15 total through 40 minutes as well.
Yes.
So when you look at the – when you put
I think it's, that's a I hate to interrupt you here. Your point is, yes, is valid. I think I'll connect it. Like, the first two periods were not good enough. If they played all three like they did in the third,
yeah,
then I think we're talking about a win tonight.
At least have the effort that you had in the third earlier. You know it's probably not going to be sustainable for 60 minutes.
That's right. All right, down to the room first, Alex Tuck live with Paul.
Alex, you guys seem to have a very good third period. Got some chances, got a couple of goals. What was the difference maybe between the third and maybe the other two?
Honestly, I didn't think we had that bad of a second period either. Thought we got some chances. We could have had some more sustained pressure, but I thought that third period we were just keeping them on their heels. We were getting pucks in. We were good on the forecheck. We were a five-man unit all over the ice, and that's the way we got to play for the full 60. I think we were a little tentative to start. I don't think we played bad by any means. I think we traded chances a little bit in the first and early in the second, but for the second half of the game, we were definitely the better team. And we just didn't get the outcome we wanted, but yeah, we have to feed off that good, because we're not going to sit here and have a pity party, and we're gonna keep pushing forward, and we're gonna be better tomorrow. And yeah,
just converting the chances, because the chances sure were there. I mean, you got some great looks in the slot by a bunch of guys, and you had some pucks around the net bouncing around too.
Yeah, I got to bury some of those chances personally. Play a lot of minutes. I got a lot of opportunities offensively, and I got to bear down and I got to cash in on those, because I mean that could be the difference. And honestly, one goal was the difference tonight. And but no, I thought we had a lot of guys work really hard in here, and we're gonna need that effort. We're gonna need that effort out of all 20 guys, and yeah, we're gonna have to have a really good road trip tomorrow. Obviously, it's gonna put a lot of things in perspective for us. We're going to Roswell. I think it's a really good time to do that. We try to do as much as possible in the community, because we know the community supports us. And you know, it's really, it's not the easiest thing to do. I mean, those kids are unbelievable, and everybody, all the patients there, and all the nurses and doctors and everyone that's part of Roswell does a really good job, and they're a really big partner of ours, and we love showing support for them, and especially around Christmas time. I think it's a good time for everyone to try to chip in and be the best person you can be. So I think that'll be a really good refresher tomorrow for us, and then we'll be back to work here Friday for really good practice before the road trip.
Alex, you had scored first in the last four games, so you certainly haven't been tentative. Why do you think the team was tentative tonight? It was just kind of the weight of what's been going on here. You think it impacted you guys?
Yeah, I mean, I thought we had our chances in the first period, but we still have to. I think we could have pushed a little bit harder, a little bit more. I think we're trying to play good defensively. Obviously, we want to make that that PK goal against there. We would like that back. But I thought we were good 5-on-5 defensively. I thought we limited them to only a lot of B chances, I'd say. A couple odd man rushes I think that we can clean up. But we had some on-run rushes that we got to cash in on. Like I said, me personally, I had a couple of really good opportunities tonight. I got to put that puck in the back of the net.
How shocking is it that you went 0-for-7 at home in this stretch? I mean, six of the games were one-goal games, but you went 0-for-7 in this building in this stretch.
Yeah, it's tough. It is really tough. But we're not going to, like I said, we're not going to sit here and have a pity party. We're going to move on. We have to move on. We're not going to sit here and go into a shell and say, oh, the season's over, because it's not. It's far from over. We have a lot of games left. We have a lot of opportunities to win a lot of hockey games. We got to be really good on the road for the next little bit here. And whenever we do come back at home, we got to be a lot better.
What have you seen from these guys over the last week and a half, 2 weeks? It gives you optimism that you guys are really capable of turning it around and going on a run.
I mean, what, 6 one-goal games? It's a matter of just one bounce one way or another. Maybe holding a lead, maybe getting up early in the game, maybe tying it up a little bit earlier. It's a game of inches. You got to keep pushing forward. You got to keep working hard, and you got to strap up your work boots and go to work.
Thank you, Alex. Alex Tuck on the post game, and Owen Power is across the room here, so I'm just going to stay with you here. Owen, what did you feel the difference was maybe between the first 20 or 40 minutes and the last 20, where you guys got a lot of offensive zone pressure and a lot of pressure going?
Yeah, I think we just, put some pressure on them. We just kind of weren't sitting back or anything, and just, not really worried about making mistakes and just trying to go out there and play hard. So obviously 20 minutes was good, but the 40 minutes are unacceptable. It's hard to win when you don't play for 40 minutes.
You set out a lot of the first period. What was Lindy's message to you?
It's pretty obvious. I make two horrible plays on that goal, and there's nothing much that really needs to be said. I know that's on me, and those plays are, unacceptable. I think it's just, the accountability that we all asked for.
What goes through your mind? Is it anger as you sit there? Because you're going to get on the ice eventually.
No, you just try and be the best teammate, I think. It's not like I didn't think I did something wrong. That goal is totally on me, and it's two plays that you can't make. So you just got to sit there, be a good teammate, and be ready for your next shift, I guess.
Was one of the big differences in the second half of this game just puck management? You guys are starting to make better, maybe smarter decisions with it?
Yeah, for sure. I think the first two periods, it was a lot of turnovers and just sloppy play. So, like you said, we kind of cleaned it up. And obviously when you do that, you play on their end more.
How shocking is it to be where you are as a team now compared to where you were when you came back from California? It's turned around here in, 2.5 weeks.
It's been a tough stretch. It's not a spot that we want to be in. But, we just need to continue to move forward and get better every day. And get out of this thing as soon as possible and go on a run.
Sometimes it seems like you just miss, on some of your shots. Your goal, you ripped it and put it in the corner. Do you sometimes try to get too fine with your shot? Because sometimes, as I said, it seems like it's within inches.
I don't think so. A lot of times you got to try and get it around guys, and you almost hope it just hits something and goes in. I think one maybe I got too cute with, but other than that, you're just trying to get the puck around the net, and hope for something good to happen.
Lindy didn't like the power play practice yesterday. He talked about it. How, even though you guys didn't get the goal tonight, how do you feel just overall you guys did?
I mean, it was obviously, you know, better than last game. But at the end of the day, I mean, in close games like this, I mean, you got to rely on your power play, and we got to score. So, I mean, we got to continue to work on it and, you know, hopefully get going.
Oh, and how does the noise and the energy from the crowd affect the guys on the bench?
I mean, it's huge when they get into it and kind of give us that energy. So, I mean, these are some of the loudest fans in the league and the best fans. So they're obviously huge to, you know, get us going.
Thank you, Owen. Owen Power on the postgame. Brian, back to you.
Yeah, the Sabres were all over the Rangers in the third and just couldn't cash in. Riley Smith scored at 13:29 to put New York up 2-0. And then Power got his hard wrister to go in with Zucker in front. That made it a 2-1. Ranger lead. Buffalo pulled the goalie with about 2.5 to go. Fox scored and got an empty netter, and that is what ended up being the game winner. Buffalo scored in the final minute. Tage Thompson with a blast one-timer to make it 3-2. But it still adds up to a 3-2 Rangers regulation win. No points for the Sabres in this game tonight. 8 straight losses, 0-5-3 in this stretch. So out of a possible 16 points in these last 8 games, they've only picked up 3. And we know in this 8-game stretch, 7 of those 8 have been in this building. Coming off of the California trip, the Sabres swept the games against the Kings, Ducks, and Sharks. Buffalo was in third place in the Atlantic. They were only 3 points behind first-place Toronto at that moment. Kevin Adams was on our flagship station, WGR, before the Minnesota game on November 27th, just said, look, this is a very, very important stretch for this team coming up. 7 of 8 of the next 8 were at home in this building. Lindy Ruff said in the preseason, winning at home, establishing home ice advantage, making this building tough to play in like it was back when he was the coach. His first tenure of time, he said this building used to rock. He used to say, you know, other teams would definitely say it was tough to come in here. You know, I obviously also, too, you had Ryan Miller in net. You had a great set of defensemen. You had Briere, you had Drury, you had Vanek. I mean, there were other reasons why it was tough to beat Buffalo back then. But they sculled goals in bunches. This building would go crazy. It would rock for sure. And, you know, Lindy's Ruff's trying to figure out a way to get this back going in that direction. Had they come off of that California trip where they were in third and had a very good homestand, the rest of the East right now is not playing good anywhere. Most of them are not. You got a couple of elite teams that are starting to pull away, like Washington and Florida, Toronto. And the Sabres, by the way, have 2 of those 3 coming up. They got Washington, who's number 1 in the East on Saturday. And then you got Toronto on Sunday, both road games. And then Montreal next Tuesday. But they had a chance coming off of that California trip to prove not only was that not a fluke, but to prove that they were in the mix. They were going to separate themselves from all these other teams in the East that have been struggling and have been inconsistent. And guess what? The Sabres have rejoined that group. Now, it is not necessarily to say all is lost. They're still only 4 points out of a playoff spot. But what is very, very bad is the amount of teams that are in this group right now. And guess what? Montreal plays tomorrow at home against Pittsburgh. If Montreal wins, that means the Sabres will move into last into the East. So they are only 4 back of a playoff spot, 4 points. It's 2 wins. Had they won tonight, they could have been only just 1 win back. But Montreal tomorrow, if they win, the Sabres will fall into last in the East. So that is how quickly it's fallen. 2.5 weeks, they were 3 points out of first. And now, tomorrow night, if Montreal wins, they will be in last in the entire conference. It swung that fast. That's what happens when you lose 8 in a row. And you go 0-5-3 in that stretch. And again, some of these games were winnable. Some of these games were there for them. What was it? 6 of these 8 were 1-goal losses. Here's another one here tonight. But, you know, that doesn't count for a lot. Other than the overtime games, it doesn't count for anything in the standings. And tonight, I thought they were excellent in the third. But guess what? They were still excellent in the third, and they still got no gain on the scoreboard. It was still a 2-2 period. So, you know, yes, the Rangers, they got a bounce on that second goal. But they were around the net. They threw the puck at the net. Sometimes that happens in the NHL. Sabres have just, you know, when things aren't going your way, you are not going to get bounces like that. Lindy tonight took guys in and out of the lineup. Power, we heard, was, you know, we know was benched after that first goal. He came back and still played a ton of minutes. 22-33 of ice time. Three shots. He had 9 shot attempts in the game to lead all Sabre players. Paul asked him about, hey, are you sometimes you struggling to get all everything you need on your shot there? He said no, but 1 goal, 1 assist, 2 points, a plus 1, but did have 9 shot attempts. Did have, obviously, the giveaway and the mistake on the first goal that sent Lindy to want him to sit down for a while. Paterka only played 1 shift in the second period. He played 15-17, got back in there in the third, but only had an assist in this game. He had 3 shots. Thompson scores his 16th of the season for Buffalo. He led the All Sabres with 5. As we get our final stats in here, brought to you by Level Financial Advisors, helping you retire better. Visit levelfa.com. The shot totals, and again in the third, were 16-5 Sabres. It ends up 31-28 Buffalo in the game. Lukanen made 25 saves in the loss. Shesterkin, 29 in the win for the Rangers. With your 3 stars, 2 of the 3 were the goaltenders. Lukanen star 3, Shesterkin star 2. Adam Fox, who had a goal, the game winner into the empty net, and 2 assists. He is star number 1. Power plays in this game, Sabres 0 for 2, and the Rangers 1 of 4. Power play update powered by Dynabrade Tools, proudly made here in Buffalo. The attendance tonight at KeyBank Center, 15,815. Sabres will go on the road now for 3 in a row, which probably is needed. A change of scenery for this team. They have lost 8 games in a row and 7 straight at KeyBank Center. Again, the next 3 road games at Washington Saturday, at Toronto Sunday, and in Montreal on Tuesday. The next home game for Buffalo will be next Friday against the Toronto Maple Leafs. That's on the 20th. Of December. There's only 1 more home game before Christmas, and then they'll have just 1 more in the month of December. All right, Lindy Ruff, ready to meet the media. Let's head down to the media room and take him live.
In the third period, got a couple of goals. So what was the difference in the third where you were able to create like you did?
I thought the second period we had, you know, probably 5 rush chances that missed net. 2-on-1 that didn't turn into much. 3-on-2 didn't turn into much. There was a lot of pace to the game. I thought we started in the first period, we turned the puck over too much. Just, we got to the blue line, turned it over. That is why some guys lost ice time.
How did you feel like they responded when you
did? I thought they really responded well.
Does that make you optimistic about just that the message is getting in those situations? Because you could sit a guy and doesn't mean he's gonna listen or take it.
I think if you look at the failed clear on an easy play to start the game with Owen, you look how good Owen came back and played. JJ started the second period, he turned it over as soon as he got over the line. I thought his third period was what we needed, which will make a difference. I know that's a culture change.
You just got to the point here, you know, 26, 27 games, whatever it is, where you had to start taking more ice time away from guys for mistakes.
Well, taking 1 or 2 shifts up to this point hasn't worked. Sitting the odd guy out hasn't worked. The puck management, we've talked about that since the start of the year. Their energy is just as good as ours when the period starts, that first period. So you either force them in a 200-foot game. They tracked hard. I'll give them a lot of credit. They worked hard. They tracked hard. They were catching people, just like we catch people. We are starting to catch people from behind. As the game got on and through the second period, when we started getting the opportunities and got the puck behind them, we started to wear them down. Now, all of a sudden, they've got to go 200 feet every time. They're changing. We get to come back at them.
And you worked on the power play. You had a couple tonight. Just what did you think? It looked better.
I thought better. Better. We had 3 really good looks. We had possession. There was a couple times we didn't find the next play, which could have been a better play. But better.
We've got to go on the road here. But, I mean, just is it almost shocking to think this stretch you had 7 home games and didn't get any of them?
Yeah, no, it's crazy. You got to stay with it. But we have to go on the road and get the job done.
JJ in particular, do you want him to be more puck dominant and start taking kind of control of the offense when he's on the ice?
It starts with puck management. There's all kinds of components. There's puck battles. There's making sure the puck gets deep so we're not fueling their offense. And then can you, once you're in there, can you win your battle? Can you create something? That's down low. That's when you get above the top of the circles. He's got to be able to make a decision, whatever play that is, the right play at the right time.
Why do you think there was some tentativeness at the start of that, in that the first period?
I thought that they were coming hard. Give them some credit. They were coming hard. They made sure they had people back. They made sure that they weren't going to give us anything through the neutral zone. And, you know, we felt, I think, a couple times like we could try to create something. But the only answer was get it deep.
Thanks.
All right, that is Sabres head coach Lindy Ruff as we bring it back up here to the press box. Lindy Ruff's press conference brought to you by Steve Foley Law. If you've been injured, it's time to get serious. Time to call Steve Foley Law. 3-2 Rangers win it. 8 straight losses for the Sabres. And Washington will be next on Saturday, 7 o'clock. We'll have the Steve Foley Law pregame at 6. All right, for all of our local affiliates, we're going to say goodbye to you at this time. If you want to keep listening to the postgame, you can do so, WGR550.com, or you can listen on the Odyssey app. And for all of you listening on WGR here in Buffalo or in your car, if you're listening on your way home, your drive home from the game, brought to you by Paddock Chevrolet, with you for the extra mile. Appreciate you listening here. 3-2 Rangers beat the Sabres. Buffalo has lost 8 straight. We'll get Paul Hamilton's take, get you some highlights, update you on the Eastern Conference standings when we return here to the press box at KeyBank Center. 3-2 Rangers the final, and this is the Buffalo Sabres Radio Network.
Can't take advantage.
And now Sabres give it away. Oh, Luukkonen, what a save. There's your highlight reel stop by Ukko Pekka Luukkonen on the setup to Kreider for the shot.
Big save from Luukkonen early second period as Kreider had a real good look and a big glove save. That one is our save of the game, brought to you by your Upstate Honda dealers. For great deals on the entire Honda lineup, visit your local Upstate Honda dealer today. Back here on the press box at KeyBank Center, 15,815 in attendance today to watch the Sabres fall to the Rangers 3-2. It's the 7th straight home loss and the 8th straight overall loss, 0-5-3 in the stretch. Buffalo could find themselves in solo dead last in the East tomorrow if Montreal wins and Detroit gets at least 1 point in their games. So that could be really, really visually devastating to see them all the way officially in the bottom. As you've heard me mention here on these last few post-game shows, it was just 2.5 weeks ago, coming off of that California trip, they were not only in third place in the Atlantic, but 3 points out of first. 2.5 weeks later, tomorrow night, they could be in dead last. Next will be Washington, which, oh, by the way, is the top team in the East. We'll preview that game coming up here shortly. We'll also check the scoreboard, but let's go down to the media room and bring Paul Hamilton in here. Paul, the third period was much better. Unfortunately, they still didn't even gain a goal net-wise in the period. It was still a 2-2 period, despite the fact that they had a lot of possession time and outshot the Rangers 16-5.
Yeah, the third period was just, you know, you just boil it down, Brian, they didn't convert their opportunities. Alex Tuck talked about the opportunities he had. He had one in the power play right away, shot wide, and then at the breakaway, which I thought he shot wide, but then a closer look, I saw Shesterkin barely got his catching glove on it. He just tipped it. I don't know if it would have gone in, but he just tipped it, and, you know, so it did hit his glove. But those are great opportunities. I commented to a few people. I don't think it was you. Yuri Kulik had 3 golden opportunities from the slot, and he ripped it. I mean, he didn't baby it. He didn't. He got that puck, and he ripped it. And I commented, in the AHL, he'd have a hat trick. It's the difference in goaltending.
Yeah.
You know, against AHL goaltenders, he would have left this game with 3 goals. But when you're facing the best goaltender in the world, arguably the best goaltender in the world in NHL goaltending, you know, it's harder to get those in. But he had the golden opportunities in the slot area, a couple of one-timers, and then he had another one where he was going for a rebound. He kind of dove for it, and he just – but that's what we're talking about. He dove for it. He went for it. They were playing hard. They were trying to win battles. I was disappointed in the first period when I saw that power play. They kept losing battles, and that's why the puck went down. You know, they weren't battling hard enough. And Lindy Ruff talked about how the Rangers came hard, and I don't think the Sabres were playing hard enough at all. And I was glad to see that after the giveaway by Power for Zibanejad's goal, that ended his first period. He didn't play again. He wound up playing 2:57, four shifts. And it worked. He got a chance to sit on that bench for the first period and whatever these emotions were, get angry or decide, I got to snap out of this. And he did. I thought he was very good, especially in the third period. And not just because he scored a goal. He was creating opportunities. He created a good opportunity for Thompson also to get that one-timer. Put it right in his wheelhouse, and unfortunately it was just too little too late. You know, the goal came at 19:22. So when you boil this down, it just Buffalo had quite a few opportunities. I haven't added it up yet, and you probably have. Shot attempts, they again were up there. I think it's over 70 in this game, and a lot of them were in the third period.
76,
if I'm not mistaken. Thompson might have had 7 shot opportunities himself.
Power 9.
Power at 9, yeah. And I asked Owen about that because he and Tucker are the real big offenders of missing the net. And Owen, you know, he had a couple. And it seems like when he misses the net, he misses by inches a couple of times. And maybe just being too fine with it where he, you know, on the goal, he just ripped it, you know. And it went through. But, you know, plenty of opportunities to win this hockey game. And, you know, just all the one-goal losses during this streak, during this losing streak, most of them are one-goal losses. And it's just, you know, you just have to be better than that, you know, and can't get caught in those one-goal losses. And I am curious now to see how Power reacts to, you know, a benching like that and see if his overall game will improve. Because if it does, and he plays like he did in the last 40 minutes, the Buffalo Sabres will improve, you know, to have him playing like that. You know, it's, again, I'm going to still bottom line it. No moral victories. It doesn't matter if they outplayed the Rangers in the third period. It doesn't matter if they created a lot of scoring opportunities. That's great. But can you bring that to Washington now, you know, and against the best team in the conference that's playing great without their captain, by the way, who's been out for a while now with a broken leg. And, you know what they've been able to do. Can you do it the next night against the Toronto Maple Leafs? That's the thing. And you better start doing it pretty quick or you are going to fall out of this thing. I mean, they've been holding in there throughout this. But this can't go on really any further without them falling out of the race.
Yeah, you mentioned – Paul, remember, we in pregame counted the one-goal losses during the stretch. So now – of these 8 straight losses, 6 of the 8 have been one goal. So we know the Colorado game is historically a bad loss and one that maybe still, Paul, they're fighting demons with because of just how that played out. A 4-0 lead, they lost 5-4 in regulation. But these games have been winnable. This is not to in any way say that losing 8 in a row is acceptable in any way. But all of these games have been winnable. They just haven't found ways to do it. And in most nights, it comes down to the fact that they seem to be making errors that they shouldn't, that are giving up goals that they shouldn't. And on the other end, not generating the things that you have been mentioning all year that Lindy Ruff really, really stresses about, which is getting not only bodies at the net, but the shots actually through on goal that are actually going to create these scoring opportunities. They're missing shots or they don't have bodies in front and or both at the same time.
Look at how many bodies and pucks were bouncing around the crease in the third period for the Sabres. I would say 3 times as many that I saw in the first 2 periods combined. Look at the Rangers goal that made it 2-0. It's basically get the puck in the crease, it's bouncing around, goes in off power, and that's that. You know, because they put the puck to the crease, and they got a lucky bounce, and it goes in. They created that bounce. You know, they created their luck by putting the puck there, and let's see what happens. And Lindy Ruff has been begging his players to do more of that. He's talked about that. You know, get the puck around there, get some bodies there, and let the puck start bouncing around and see what happens. And, you know, they did more of that in the third period, unfortunately. They were playing a goaltender who I'm sure was very motivated because he got pulled the last time he played the Buffalo Sabres. Certainly didn't play like the best goaltender in the world that evening. So he was certainly motivated, and he was up to the task. I thought he had a nice game.
Absolutely. 3-2 the final. Rangers beat the Sabres. Paul Hamilton with us here on the postgame show. Paul, how about just, I guess, throughout this third period, how about right away, shorthanded, Clifton hit the post on that shorthanded chance, and then Tuck had a shorthanded chance. They had two shorthanded chances to score there right away to start the third.
It looked like the Sabres were on the power play, not killing a penalty. You know, once Clifton went down there and made that move on Trocheck, who's a forward, but he recognized that, put a great move on him, and then rips it off the post. Then, as you mentioned, Tuck, Buffalo really spent most of the time in the Rangers' end, because it was at least more than halfway through the penalty kill. You know, so they didn't have a lot of it left, but they certainly was something that I think helped get them going too. You know, I don't know what Trocheck was doing. I thought that was pure stupidity when he picked a fight with Obey Cabell. What are you doing? I mean, your team has a one-goal lead. You want to fire the fans up and Obey Cabell and get in a fight with a guy that's probably, you know, could mess you up pretty good? That just wasn't smart hockey. Just because the guy hit you with a body check that was legal, that just, to me, maybe that's why the New York Rangers are in the spot they're in, because that could have cost them. I mean, that got the fans going. You know, that gets the bench going for the Sabres. And, you know, sure enough, I thought the Sabres were playing a good third period, and I thought they did get better, even better after that. You know, so that just was stupidity. It didn't cost them. They got the 2 points, and they won, but it certainly could have.
Yeah. Paul, injury report here brought to you by the Orthopedic Center at Catholic Health St. Joseph Campus. Go with Joe's. Still no Rasmus Dahlin. We won't get an update until Friday because the Sabres have their scheduled day off tomorrow. We actually heard Alex Tuck say the team's going to Roswell Park, so that should be a great experience for them and hopefully for all the kids that they're going to visit. But Matias Samuelsson did return from injured reserve and played tonight 2 seconds short of 16 minutes. One shot, one hit, one block shot. What did you think of his overall return?
For the most part, I liked it. I thought, and I told you in the first period when, you know, he blocked that 3-on-1 with a block shot, and then right near the end of the period, he made two really good plays defensively, to break up some rushes and kill plays, and that to me looked like the Matias Samuelsson of old. You know that he was went before all the injuries started, and you know the way he played there. So I thought that was a nice return for him. You know, the way he killed plays, being around around the front of the net. And, I actually probably thought that was one of his better games this year for the most part. When I watch back at the game, I probably watch a little bit closer. But overall, I think it was a pretty good game for him.
All right, Paul, let's finish with what's next. A weekend pair of games. Washington, who is number one in the East on Saturday. And then Toronto, who is second place in the Atlantic on Sunday. So this is a couple of tough tasks here coming up. And as I mentioned, Montreal and Detroit play tomorrow. So if they get points, Buffalo could be sitting in dead last in the East before they head to the weekend, which looks challenging on paper.
Well, they've beaten the Florida Panthers this year. They've beaten the Dallas Stars this year. They've beaten the New York Rangers in New York when New York wasn't losing like this. They've beaten the Los Angeles Kings. So they do have some pretty good wins to talk about or to look at. And I suppose after they pull all this facing a bunch and the Rangers right in there. And I told everybody before the game, I even wrote it, don't get all a flutter that the Rangers come in here 2-8, because every team that's come in here has been slumping. The Rangers 5-game losing streak. Winnipeg was in their worst little worst part of the season where they were slumping. Colorado was awful. The Islanders were awful. Most of the teams that came in here, except maybe for the Wild, were slumping. And they lost them all. So I guess it would probably be just like them to go out and beat the Capitals and the Leafs or take 3 out of 4 points against teams that are better. I don't know how to look at it.
Yeah. So Washington is Saturday at 7. We'll have the Steve Foley Law pregame at 6. And then just a programming note on Sunday, if you are interested in listening to the broadcast, that in Buffalo will be on the Bet 1520 with the Sabres and the Leafs at 5, Steve Foley Law pregame at 4, because the Bills and the Lions have a 4:25 kickoff on our flagship in Buffalo on WGR Sports Radio 550. So again, Saturday night, normal WGR in Buffalo, Sabres and Caps. Sunday, the Bet 1520 for Sabres and Leafs. Paul, thank you for your work tonight, and we will talk to you on Saturday with the Sabres in Washington.
All right, talk to you then.
Okay, great. Paul Hamilton with us here on the postgame. 3-2 Rangers win it. Brian Colziel with you. I mentioned the standings. Another team in the East won in the only other game tonight. Let's get the details as we go around the league one more time with Pat.
Thanks, Brian. It's brought to you by Fiegel Carr and Joy Shore Border Attorneys. Drake Batherson with a natural hat trick for Ottawa as the Senators pick up a 5-1 victory over Anaheim. And Batherson had 2 in the first, another in the second, and again 5-1 the win for Ottawa, who now get to 13-13-2 on the season. So picking up 2 points tonight against the Ducks, and as Brian mentioned, that's the only other game in the NHL. However, Rochester was in action tonight in Laval as Devin Levi picks up another victory, his 5th in a row. The Amerks erase a 1-0 deficit in the first, scoring 3 times in the second on their way to a 3-1 victory over the Rocket. And also news from the world of football, first in the college ranks as University of North Carolina makes it official. The new head coach of the Tar Heels will be Bill Belichick. Reports are a multi-year contract for one of the winningest coaches in NFL history. And on the field in Buffalo, the Bills had a walkthrough today. We know Deion Dawkins, KJ Hamler were here at KeyBank Center taking in tonight's game. Several players, full participants in the Bills walkthrough today as part of the injury report announced by the team earlier. Dwayne Carter, Keon Coleman, Amari Cooper, part of the full participants along with Curtis Samuel. Also, Casey Tuhill was limited, and safety Taylor Rapp, along with cornerback Rasul Douglas, did not practice. Something to keep an eye on as the Bills head towards their Sunday matchup against the Lions.
Should be a fun one on Sunday. Thank you, Pat.
I've got it.
3-2 Rangers win it here as we'll get a break from KeyBank Center for a while. As we said, 3 straight road games upcoming, Washington, Toronto, Montreal up next, and then the next home game, Pat, will in some sense feel like a road game because Toronto is here.
So you get the Maple Leafs twice in a week.
Yeah.
Sunday at Scotiabank Arena, then again Friday, the next home game right here. So, yeah, it'll be interesting how these next 4 games play out.
Yeah. A lot of teams in this jumble right now they have upcoming. Washington, we mentioned, definitely way out in front. But you've got Toronto twice, Montreal, Boston, and the Islanders all upcoming here before the Christmas break. All those teams are right in this mix right now. So if you have a good stretch, it doesn't solve what just happened here, 8 in a row, but at least you can feel like you're still alive going into the Christmas break here. If you finish this poorly now, these next 5 games before Christmas, and go like 1-4 or something like that, I mean, you might literally be – we might be sitting here the game before Christmas saying, like, is it over now?
Yeah. I know the Sabres got a couple of loser points in the mix over the course of these last 8 games. But this is exactly what we kind of been talking about year after year of just tread water.
Yep.
Don't have an extended losing streak that takes you out of the mix by the time you get to Thanksgiving or Christmas or even, you know, this year's not an all-star break, but that long extended break in end of January, beginning of February, and it's happened already. So important for the Sabres to pull themselves out of it, yes, and then not to let it be 1 or 2 wins and another 3-4 game losing streak, even if you get a loser point. Now it's now you're going to have to put a win streak together with maybe 3 or 4 in a row.
Yeah. Just a quick note. I know the weather looks like going home right now, at least outside of KeyBank Center, is still clear, but it's going to be a story when you wake up tomorrow morning. There may be a lot of businesses that either will be in work-from-home mode or offices closed. I know, what, the city of Buffalo?
Yeah, City Hall is closed tomorrow, so basically essential workers, but outside of that, you know, we're seeing a lot of school districts, City of Buffalo public schools.
Looks like almost every major public school district in Erie County is closed tomorrow as well.
Yeah, I know the South Town's starting to get some of the snow now, and the expectation, much like right around Thanksgiving, similar path maybe to what we saw. Maybe some areas getting more than they did 2 weeks ago, but kind of the same.
Yeah, we'll have these pictures of somebody in the South Towns with 2 feet and then somebody 10 miles north with 2 inches, right?
So I'll have my snowboard going 3 times and you'll be cutting your grass.
That's correct. Yeah. I'll be out putting on my putting green in the backyard, right?
The joke's on me. Yeah.
Yes.
I'm willing to say it. The joke's on me.
That's right. No, I'll be roughing it tomorrow, whatever it is here. If somebody needs their driveway shoveled up in the Amherst area, let me know. I'll send a crew. Thanks, Pat. Yep. Good luck shoveling tomorrow.
Thanks, Brian.
All right. Pat Mullicaro, Paul Hamilton here, along with me, Brian Koziel, as we put a wrap on our postgame show from KeyBank Center. If you've been with us from the beginning here throughout the night, thanks for listening. Also want to thank our crew. TJ Luckman back in our Amherst studios, our network producer. Thank you, TJ. Tom Maddie, our engineer. The Bulldog, of course, on the pregame today. And our game announcers, Dan Dunleavy and Rob Ray. And for Pat and Paul and me, Brian Koziel, thank you for listening. The final again, Rangers 3, Sabres 2. Talk to you Saturday. Sabres and Caps from the nation's capital right here on the Buffalo Sabres Radio Network. Good night, everyone.